You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by Universal Windows. Direct buy one window, get one free, 0% financing for 36 months. You'll be saying, I love my windows. Last night in the Big Apple, number one U of L, they went down to Texas Tech 70-57. The Cards, they were held to just 34% shooting from the field. Coach Chris Mack, post-game, giving props to Texas Tech's game plan.
I thought they were a well-coached team. They did a better, Chris did a much better job of preparing his kids for the environment, the type of game that it was tonight than I did.
ESPN's Myron Medcalf joined the Midday Rush with Lachlan McLean earlier today and said that U of L, well, there might be some parallels to that team up the road.
They don't have sort of that overwhelming force of a player. They, like Louisville, have to do it collectively. And in the moment they get away from that, they can be vulnerable. I think this is a Kentucky team where we just make assumptions because it's Cal and he's got one and done. We go, oh, yeah, they're going to be a really good team. But this feels like a team that will evolve over the course of the season. But their ceiling certainly doesn't look as high as the ceiling of some of the past Kentucky teams.
Number 8 UK is in action Saturday with Georgia Tech. We'll have more of that Myron Medcalf sound later on this hour with Bobby V. In the nightcap of the Jimmy V Classic, IU, they beat UConn 57-54, and they did that with zero scores in double figures. Moving to the gridiron, Dean Hood, he's named the new head coach for the Murray State Racer football team. And UK's Lynn Bowden Jr., he wins the Paul Hornung Award for the nation's most versatile player. The Take with Andy Sweeney coming to you at 3. More of the V Show on this We Want to Know Wednesday and Which Wednesday from New York next. This is SportsCenter.
The only station in town talking Cards, Cats, and Hoosiers. We're ESPN 680 and 105.7. Listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You could say, well, I could have told this without this information, so that's fine. But people ask, you know, why do I keep the segment scoring? It's because I believe that Pat Riley's theory that a game, basketball's a game of runs, and in the NBA there are 7 runs in any particular game. He calls them skirmishes, and then if you win 4 of those, you win the game. That's what it comes down to. And in basketball, college basketball, because it's shorter, I think there's generally 5 skirmishes. And, you know, if you can win those. Now, the difference is those skirmishes could extend over 2 segments or something, or, you know, you could make a but by and large, you get a really good feel for the type of game it is and if anybody really has an advantage by the segment scoring. And this is 2 games in a row now where I've seen things I don't think I've seen before. One involves the segment scoring, one doesn't. Louisville in their game against Pitt, they made 8 3-point field goals to start the game were by 8 different players. I don't think I've seen that before. Last night, the game against Texas Tech, and the segments, most of you know this, but in case you don't, and by the way, this came about because that's how coaches coach. Coaches coach segments. I think the Louisville calls them terms. They call them wars, 4-minute wars, or whatever they call them. So the segments in the game are around the media timeouts, from the start of the game to the 16, from the 16 to the 12, the 12 to the 8 to the 4 to halftime. Same thing in the second half, but to the end of the game. So there's 5 segments a half. And you try and win, that's 10 segments, and, you know, if you can win those by 3 points or more, I put a little dot to say, okay, you've won that segment. And you get a pretty good feel, you know, even if a game is close somehow, the dots give you an idea of which way the momentum's going. And last night was exactly the way Texas Tech, the only way they could win the game, and Chris Mack alluded to it, was Chris Beard had his team predicated to play a grind. It was a grind-o-matic. That was by design. It was grindo time. They don't score it that well. They don't shoot it that well. But they have some guys. They have enough of scoring. They have enough of everything. But they had to grind. And so you talk about making it a grindy game. This is the segment scoring. I went through the first 9 segments of the game without using one dot. If you think of it in terms of from Louisville's point of view, I always pick a team, whether it's the home team or the favorite or whatever, and I put it that way. So in other words, if my shorthand says +2, it means the favorite or the home team, whoever I decided ahead of the game, is, you know, won that segment by 2, -2, -1. Obviously, it's the other way around. So these were the segments again, plus and minus from Louisville's point of view: -1, +1, -2. -2, +2, -2, -2, +1, -1, -5. It wasn't until the last segment of the game that there was even a dot. But again, you know, you look at that and they didn't win it that impressively, but that means Texas Tech was able to keep every segment within one possession. That is the epitome of a grind game. It's exactly what they wanted. And then that's how you do it. And then you make a tiny little run late. The last 2 segments combined, they won by 6 total. And that's how you win it. And that's exactly what they did. They wound up winning. They won the first half. They won 3 segments to 2. The second half, they won 4 of the 5 segments. But they were all within one possession. But the fact that Louisville couldn't even win a segment, let alone get a dot, in the second half, I mean, I was like, when it was 37-32, it was still very close. Louisville had cut it to like 4, but I said, this game is going exactly as Tech wants it to go. Louisville had been, you know, winning by putting big runs together. They had made 20 runs of 8-0 or better this in the season, and I think they even made one last night. But then Tech made one right back. But when you added it all up, each segment wound up being very, very close. It was the ultimate definition of a grind game, and you know, that is exactly how they had to play it, and they got it done. And there's a couple things that we wanted to do here before we march on. One is, Nick, I can't bring up that text now because I'm using the phone to do the show here. So, but you wanted to mention again, thanking everybody for the great sponsorship for Cram the Van. We've raised, if you have the exact number, you can tell people, and then how much that translated into purchasing power at Kohl's, where we can buy some stuff that's going to make the holidays a lot brighter for a lot of young folks through Salvation Army and Wayside Christian Mission. So, yeah, what was that? It was a record. It was another record.
Absolutely, yeah. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. And just want to say thank you to the fine folks at Kohl's, Sternberg, who provide the van that we get to cram. Focus, who matched, I believe, our opening day donations up to $5,000. We had some anonymous donors that were in the thousands. We had tons of you listeners that went to the GoFundMe, and then every little bit helped, and it was awesome. And our final tally was $23,098, which allowed us to have $55,497 in purchasing power after discounts and some Kohl's cash in return. So shout out to everybody, all the guys here at ESPN who promoted it, and especially Drew. I know this is his baby. So great job, everybody. Thank you so much. That's over $55,000 worth of smiles we're handing out to kids who could use it during the holidays. So thank you very, very much to everybody.
Speaking of the holidays, not exactly the time when you're losing weight, and my guess is there's parties to go to. We've got some at our place, and the holidays are obviously the Christmas big dinners coming up. So I'm going to suggest you might not do it now. I understand that. But chances are when the holidays are over, you're going to say, ooh, I want to get back on the rails. I want to get in shape. more importantly, you'll want to get healthy. And that means you're going to want to look at a place like our friends at Vitality, because their name is not just diet and weight loss. It's Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. And that really is the key. Their key is to show you how to get a lifestyle that is going to keep you healthy and absolutely something you can maintain literally for the rest of your life. And the way to do that is to go get your scan done. You put your hand on a little computer. It tells you what your body needs in terms of nutrients and minerals. Minerals are a big thing, which we don't ever talk about. And I learned that from them, which I find really interesting. And then they'll show you what supplements you need. It's a tailor-made program for you. Nick did the program. I did the program. Our supplements were completely different. And then you put an eating plan together that complements your lifestyle and is one that shows you how you can manage to lose weight. They tell you why they're doing what they do, and they give you the tools for how to get it done. I don't know if they really recoil at it, but I do mention other diet plans, you'll lose weight on those too. You will. The fact of the matter is, if you follow just about any reputable diet program out there, you'll lose weight. The problem is twofold. One is it doesn't necessarily make you healthier, just makes you lose weight. And secondly, good luck trying to sustain that. Actually, it's threefold, because not only do you have trouble sustaining it, actually doing it in the first place is absolute torture. Who wants that? This is something where you can eat. You just learn to eat differently, and you can eat real amounts of food. I mean, the other one's to advertise. You can eat meatloaf. You can eat pizza. Yeah, you go with the meatloaf, you could fit inside a thimble. You know, the pizza is the size of your thumbnail. I mean, that's not, wow, that's eating real food. No, it's not. You know, nobody's going to want to live like that for the rest of their lives. Here, they show you how you can eat a great mix of vegetables, a lot of delicious vegetables in ways that maybe you hadn't thought of. I don't like vegetables. You know, have you tried these things? There's a portobello mushroom pizza that is on this thing that is, forget about a quote-unquote diet. It's fantastic. I'll eat it for the rest of my life. It's spectacular. It's that good. And there's a website with quite literally dozens of recipes. And you can pick the ones you want. And they're easy to follow. And they're so good. That's the difference. You can follow this and make a change that is meaningful for the rest of your life. So check it out. And more importantly, get healthier. I keep telling people this because I'm so proud of this. I went to the cardiologist. Now it's about a month and a half ago. My blood pressure, which has been borderline high to outright high for about 20 years, was 110 over 65. I've never been like that in recent memory. And I didn't change any meds. I didn't do anything else. It's literally just this plan. So that's what it does. It makes you healthier. It is a wellness and weight loss plan. So plan on it. You know, as I said, I'm not naive enough to think you're going to bust out a weight loss plan 10 days or so from Christmas. But when it's over, you probably will want to. And that's the single resolution that is made more than any other in our society after the holidays. It's one to lose weight. Well, I would suggest you change that and say not just to lose weight, to be healthier. And plan on it being Vitality when you make that commitment, because it'll make you healthier. You'll lose weight. They got two locations, one in Southern Indiana, one right here in Louisville, right off Bardstown Road. You will absolutely love it. Tell them we sent you, and they will take care of you. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. And Nick's mic is on, so he wants to say something.
Well, no, I just wanted to weigh in with the whole wellness thing. They have a way that to measure your metabolism, and I went in as a almost a 30-year-old, and I had a metabolism that was a little higher because I didn't have the greatest eating habits. I think it was like that of someone in their mid-30s. By the time the program was over, I had the metabolism of college Nick, like 20-year-old Nick, which was kind of cool.
Atta boy.
And the lowest you can get it is to a 16-year-old because they have the best metabolisms. I think it's a 16-year-old. But so that was kind of cool. But it's a system that revitalizes your whole body. You're not just like starving yourself, losing weight. Like my body was more efficient. It was kind of nice. So, yeah.
And what's cool is if you get it to 16 years old, they give you pills so that you'll develop acne again and teach you how to be awkward around girls.
Yeah. No,
so you get the whole 16-year-old experience.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there that would like a 16-year-old sex drive again, but hey, how you doing?
Hey, that's how you doing?
That's neither here nor there. No, they just, they let you, they give you a new driver's license, and you're not allowed to drink anymore, which is kind of a bummer. But no, I'm kidding.
Don't tell people that. They won't sign up.
That's true. But no, it's an awesome program. It's very, very good. But definitely want to also get your thoughts. It is a We Want to Know Wednesday. We have our buddy flatmate Thomas, Tom Farmer, sent one along, and I believe it is...
I just knocked myself off the air.
I know you did. I heard you in my ear. That's why I was vamping for you. Welcome back. But it is We Want to Know Wednesday, 437-9680, if you want to text those in along with some of your Ask the Analyst questions or any of your thoughts on last night's basketball game. But flatmate Thomas, Tom Farmer, passed this along that he is out with the flu today. So he's lost his voice. He's not able to call in or join in studio and give some awesome We Want to Know Wednesday facts. But he did pass this along. Because he's got the flu, he wanted to remind everybody that the Spanish flu was not Spanish. It started in an army camp in France. Due to wartime censorship, the first reports came out of neutral Spain, thus the name. It killed more people than both world wars combined.
That's unbelievable, though, when I think about that. The influenza, more damaging than war.
I mean,
how about that?
That is crazy. They had to cancel the NHL season, I think, 1919, I want to say. I'm not sure.
Really?
But, yeah, they had to cancel the NHL season because of the influenza outbreak. And the Spanish flu, that was during World War One, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. So that's a pretty solid We Want to Know Wednesday.
How interesting is that? How does my phone know this? As you're telling that story, my phone just popped up and said, it is suggested everyone 6 months and older receives the flu shot.
That's
creepy.
How
about that?
That's
very
creepy.
How did they
know that? That's really, really creepy.
Yeah. Pretty cool. All right. Here's a couple of random New York facts for you on We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. Just a couple of interesting things. It is not illegal to go topless in New York. How about that? People can walk around if they choose to without their tops on, and that includes the girlies. How about that? The first pizzeria in the United States opened in New York City, 1895. Oh, that's good. The New York Public Library has over 50 million books. The Empire State Building gets struck by lightning on average 23 times a year. The average rent for a one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. Want to take a stab at that?
One-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. Monthly?
At average.
Monthly.
Monthly rent?
I'm going to go with $6,000.
Wow. Not that high, thank God. $3,400.
Wow, that's still crazy.
Still pretty high.
We want to know Wednesday.
We
want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday.
There's, by the way, Kesty told me this last night, and some of you probably know it because you guys watch cool stuff on television. There's a section over on the west side of Manhattan. I don't know the west side that well. Not that I know the east side great, but I mean, I just haven't had much cause to be on the west side. There's interesting things there. There's the Chelsea Piers. It's where the cruise ships will sail out of, the cruise ships that come into Manhattan. But there is an entire, I don't know how you describe it. It's not like a town or anything, but there's a big West Side train yard there. And they basically built, I don't know how to describe it, an entire city, two city blocks above the existing trains. It's absolutely incredible. There's a gigantic high-rise there with a really dramatic stairwell. There's shopping. There's a whole bunch of things. And they built the whole thing without disturbing the trains. It's not like next to the trains or around the trains. It's over the existing train yard. They left the train yard there, and they built this thing above it. I mean, and it's, I guess there's been specials on how the whole thing took place. I have not seen it, but Kesty's got me intrigued to the point where I want to. I don't know. The engineering amazes me. I'm even amazed that they were able to put the bridge up in Louisville without ever having really to close those roads. They just basically rerouted the road. I mean, they basically had to build a whole new road just for like 3 weeks while they built one section of the bridge, and then they were going to build another section, so then they had to put the road back the other way, and they put those big concrete things there, and they built that whole thing without ever having to close the road there. That's remarkable. But I don't know what the name of this is, and I should, but it's the West Side Development in Manhattan above the train yard, and it is incredible to see. We drove through it last night on our way to Wohops. But Kat, I was amazed. I was looking. I was like, this is incredible. And then Kat said, well, you got to watch the special on how they did it. And I have not. But I'm going to go try and find it on YouTube. Sounds like it's awesome. So I'm seeing if there's a title to what it's called. It's the West Side Development above the train yard. I'm doing a Google search like that, seeing if it comes up here. Let's see. Come on, baby. Don't let me down, Twitter, Google. You can do this for me. Come on, Google. Run, little Google man. It just says it's the West Side Yard. It's the train yard. Here it is. There we go. Woohoo! It's called the Hudson Yards development, how New York City's newest neighborhood will float above an active train yard. And this is, this, by the way, was the site where the New York Jets were going to build their own football stadium in Manhattan. They were going to leave the Giants and not coexist with that, share the stadium. And then that thing fell apart. This thing has been, like, there was discussion about the Yankees building a stadium. They were going to move Madison Square Garden. The Jets, this was like the, I don't know why, but it was the primo place to build new arenas in New York, and none of them ever came to be. Obviously, they renovated the Garden. Yankee Stadium got a new Yankee Stadium right next to the old one, and the Jets continued to share a tenancy with the Giants when they built an all-new Giants Stadium. But this is, it literally, well, I don't know if it literally, it doesn't literally float, but it was built in a manner that you drive by and you go, how the hell did they do this? So I'm eager to watch the special and how they did it. There is a whole special about, it's literally like the newest neighborhood in New York. They considered it a whole new neighborhood. And it's pretty amazing. It's going to float. I guess this thing is about 4 or 5 years old. There's a YouTube video on it. Newest neighborhood will float above an active train yard. It's the Hudson Yards, the largest private development in U.S. history. It's not just the new mega development, it's about its new buildings. It's the fact that it'll float above an existing train depot on a massive artificial foundation. How the hell do engineers come up with this stuff? It's just remarkable.
So it's like a floating island? That's crazy.
It's a 26-acre depot that serves an active, you know, it's still active. So it's that they couldn't just, oh, the hell with this, we'll close the train yard. They need it for the Long Island Railroad trains during rush hour with 30 tracks and space for storage and maintenance. So they couldn't just say, all right, well, we'll just bag this. They needed it. But they wanted to figure out how they could build something there. And so, you know, the rail yard is about 40 years old. It opened in the 80s. But the engineers already were imagining the day when a hungry developer would pave over it. So they left a small gap that runs around the edges of the yard, just enough space for structural members to be laid down without interrupting traffic. Boy, you talk about having vision as engineers. They built this train yard and basically left enough room for like the border of a picture. And so they said they did it as an insurance plan for future city builders. And they were exactly right, because then those builders came on board and the train people said, well, you don't have to touch our trains. Look what we left you. And so they, but I'm sure that when they built this, they never envisioned something of this magnitude. I mean, I'm sure they envisioned a couple of buildings here or there, but it's a tightly packed puzzle of four skyscrapers and other towers that represent the largest private development in the entire history of the United States. It's the largest New York City development since Rockefeller Center, and anybody who's been there knows how big that is. So it's going to add a whole new neighborhood to Manhattan. 65,000 people will live or work there, all of whom will be floating above an active train yard.
Just floating. Oh, that's crazy.
It's very cool.
That's
very
awesome. Cool. Well, we got a lot of great We Want to Know Wednesdays and some basketball texts coming down. 437-9680 if you want to send those along the line. We want to know Wednesday. Did you know that the phrase the Big Apple originally referred to a series of horse races that were ran around the area before it was adopted as the city's nickname?
I did not know that. That's a good one.
I did
Big
not
fan
know
of
that either. That might be the morning line favorite, actually, right now.
No pun intended with the horse racing.
Exactly. I was going to give it to this person just because of the sheer energy it took to send this along. All right, I'm going to do my best to pronounce this. Mama Mung Kuku Pumrang Kunjaya Hill, Australia, is an actual place and holds the record for longest name of a place.
Okay.
And that's an entire text line. Just like it was just the name. That's about 30 characters. That was pretty impressive.
Okay.
Let's see here. My text line, the internet here sucks, so it's taking a while to load. Let's see here. Someone texting saying that, Bob, your phone is listening to you. Whether you're listening or not, try a test. Say you want some golf clubs for Christmas and see what happens. Maybe you'll get some ads or something along those lines.
Why that? Maybe I would like a new Mercedes to see if that works. Is that Mercedes is the one that's it's perfection or nothing or whatever it is? Is that what they're what is it? It's
Lexus?
What do they say?
Is that Lexus? No. I think that is Mercedes Benz.
No, it's John Hamm, but it's not perfection or nothing. It's the best or nothing, something like that. What the hell is the tagline for that?
I think it's that. The best or
the
nothing.
The best or nothing?
Yeah, I think so. Which means you either get a really good car or they just... I don't know. Maybe they don't want to do that. I mean, they're basically baseball. They're the Major League Baseball of
it's
cars.
It's the best or nothing.
Yeah.
The Mercedes-Benz marketing slogan. The best or nothing.
Benji, the mower man, texting. Did you say Spanish fly or Spanish flu? I'm not sure. I might have said Spanish fly the first time.
Well, Spanish fly, yeah, that would be a very. If that wipes out people, then that's going to be very alarming. It's not supposed to do that.
There's an actual. This is also from Benji, the mower man. There's an actual episode of Impossible Engineering on the Science Channel about this neighborhood that you're talking about being built above the train yard. It's very cool, he says. We want to know Wednesday. Are TV timeouts ruining college basketball? He kind of wants to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, I do think that there's too many stoppages. I mean, if you're going to have TV timeouts, I don't think the teams need as many timeouts as they get. I mean, they have way too many timeouts.
Wasn't
think
that
about
Pitino's
that.
Whole thing that he was furious with all those extra timeouts because his defensive style was designed to wear you out?
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, when you get to the end, not only are there more timeouts, I mean, you know, there's the four mandatory ones. Now the NCAA has a fifth one that is the first called timeout in the second half becomes a full timeout. Even if the team takes a 30, they play it as a full timeout so they can get more commercials in. That's every NCAA game in the second half. In the first half, in the NCAA tournament, they do that in the first half as well. So in addition to the existing 16, 12, 8 and 4 timeouts, that's 4. You add another one, so that's 5 in each half. That's 10 timeouts, plus the halftime break, plus the called timeouts the coaches can make. It's very hard to wear people out. And I also think, frankly, and this is a coach speaking, it's too much control for the coach. And I've said this, and I said this on the broadcast last night when there was a review of a video play late. They shouldn't be allowed to go to their bench. I mean, coaches, if 1,000% sure the ball went off the guy, but it was contested, I would ask for a video review, and then I get a free timeout. And that's a big, big part of learning how to coach. When you first start coaching, your first inkling is you want to, you know, some guys don't ever want to call timeout, and some guys go the other way. Every time you see something wrong, you want to call timeout and talk about it. Call timeout and talk about it. You've got to learn where and when, and it negates that because you always have the security blanket. There's going to be some call that you can protest enough to get it reviewed, and then you hustle your team in and you get a free timeout out of it. They should, like boxing, they should have to go to a neutral corner. There should be a little dotted line, very light dotted line, that's opposite your bench. So if, you know, if I'm sitting on the other side of the court and the Louisville bench is on the right side, like as you watched it on TV last night, they should have to go stand in the left corner opposite, and the other team should have to go to the opposite corner as far away from their bench as possible. You shouldn't get a free timeout there. It should be a little place they have to go, or make it the foul circle if you want, the opposite foul circle. There's no reason they should be allowed to go back to their bench. And if they're afraid, well, you're going to go put these kids out there. If you stand on the opposite corner, they're going to be close to fans who are going to heckle them. If you put them in the other foul circle, the other team's going to heckle them. Well, then you know what? If you can't control your players so they can't get through a two-minute video review without breaking into fisticuffs, you got a lot bigger problems than, you know, video review as a policy. So, but I just think that's a gross, gross injustice. If I've done a good job managing my timeouts, or the other way, you've done a good job managing yours, and I haven't, at the end of the game, you should have an advantage. You did a better job. And you get that taken away with the stupid video reviews. So I don't think that the TV timeouts are ruining the game. I think video review is absolutely ruining the game. I mean, every game I look at, I see, like, even though Tom Brady refused to blame the referees, I didn't see why, so you don't have to write me, but why was that not, did they watch the replay and still get it wrong, or it wasn't reviewable? But they called the guy out of bounds, and he was in bounds by 2 inches. So even with all the reviews, they're still getting crap wrong all over the place. So what the hell are we doing? All we're doing is distorting the flow of the game, and I don't think we're getting anything particularly right more often than we were. As I said, it should be a guy in the booth with no clear-cut policy other than common sense. There's something that happened that is so blatantly wrong. Then he say, puts the buzzer and says, dude, I don't know, you know, like the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs, how a major league fielder could not touch that ball. You could say, how does it happen? Well, it happens to the referees, too. How the hell did he not see that? But he didn't, so let me help you out there and straighten it out. But the rest of it, play through the mistakes. That's the way it goes. That's absolutely the way it goes. And if it's a one-possession game and you get the call go against you, oh, well, that's the way the world works. That's what one-possession games are. It's a lucky break here, lucky break there. And play the damn game. But all these stoppages, and they're still not getting stuff any righter than they did before. And when I say not any righter than they did before, they get it right way more than they don't. I mean, you can get as mad as you want to, but they get it right way more than they don't. And there's a lot of plays where I hear the fans screaming and yelling, and I'm you know, I'm watching the replay and thinking, I mean, I don't think that's that bad a call. So you can't go by the fact at all. But people are irate. These officials are doing a crappy job. People are irate because the calls didn't go the way they wanted them to go. So, you know, I think they're going to have to revisit video review. I really do. And the weird thing is they won't use it in areas where I still believe they should use it for balls and strikes in baseball. They should be absolutely a top priority to figure out the technology, to let that go, and just put it in. And you could say, well, it's not great, but that's the whole point. The plate umpires, these balls are coming in at 97 miles an hour now with all sorts of movement in them. They're going to miss some. So the electric eye will miss some, but you know what? It'll probably be more consistent than the guy behind the plate. If that pitch, you know, you say to yourself, well, I don't think that's a strike, but guess what? If you throw it there every time, it's going to be a strike. Or if you think that ball's called a ball, but it should have been a strike, guess what? If you throw it there every time, the machine's going to call it the same way. The thing that drives players crazy is when it's a strike one time, it's a ball the next time, it's you never know. That's, you know, that would do away with that part of the game. So that's just my take on that. All right, what else you got?
All right, so it is We Want to Know Wednesday.
We want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday.
All right, this is a good one. The KFC Yum Center is larger than any NBA arena.
Nice.
I didn't know that. We want to know Wednesday. Did you know Big Easy really sucks? All right.
Why would you read that?
Because
I never read ones like that.
Because Big Easy would laugh. And
sorry, Big Easy. Nope.
He knows. I would never read that. We love him. I'm sure that texter does too. He's just wrestling some jimmies. Did you know Louisville Southeast Christian Church is the fifth largest church in the U.S. with over 30,000 members? I have a friend who lives over that way and attends Southeast Christian Church and affectionately refers to it as Six Flags Over Jesus.
Yeah, I've heard other people say that. It's a different phenomenon. I mean, that's a new phenomenon I was never exposed to till I moved here. There was nothing like that on Long Island growing up. I don't know. I'm sure there is now. They're everywhere, big mega churches. But, I mean, we went to a Catholic church that was, by local standards here, for what I would call, lack of a better word, mainstream religions. I mean, not that Southeast, it's a Christian church, but I mean, I don't know how to refer to it. Forgive my religiosity not being so eloquent. You know what I mean, a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, a Methodist church, one of the brand name churches. This was a Catholic church that had masses in a decent-sized church, the gymnasium for the elementary school, which was pretty big, and the cafeteria. And they would start with like a 7 a.m. mass in the church alone. Then at 8:15, they'd be in the church and the gymnasium. And then starting at 9:30, it was a church, the gymnasium, and the cafeteria. And then that was, and they were staggered. So like the church would start at 9, the gymnasium 9:15, the cafeteria 9:30. So it was, no matter when you got there, you could find one. It was like a movie. You could find one starting. And in the course of the Sunday, I believe in its heyday, we were doing 11 masses a Sunday.
Holy wow.
And they were, and the masses were big. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I love my little church. Ethan Moore goes to the 8 a.m. service, but the 8 a.m. service at St. Thomas literally will get 10 people. You know, these were maybe the 7 a.m. church. I never got up that early, so maybe that didn't have a lot of people. But all the other ones were, I mean, visualize a basketball court with rows of chairs, all packed. The church, packed. Cafeteria, packed. From the 9 o'clock service to noon, packed, 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 and packed. So they didn't all go at once.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how?
Maybe. So my guess is we probably had almost as many people as, like, a Southeast Christian. They went in shifts, whereas Southeast Christian has everybody.
So someone would do the service. It wasn't like it was going over the
speakers. Oh, no, they had a
toll.
No, no. They had a whole team of priests. I mean, we had like 5 priests, maybe.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and you always got excited when you got the. We had the one young priest that was funny. And they didn't always take the same shift, so you couldn't just go to his mass. Then we had Father Clark Kent. We had a priest that looked just like Clark Kent.
He was
not as entertaining as the young guy. We liked the father, young guy. I forgot his name. By the way, speaking of doppelgangers, other than I probably would have gotten punched, I think this would be a fun game. I may do it next year. I wanted to walk around New York and find people.
I thought you were Tony Danza.
Who looked like all of our other hosts.
Oh, that could be hilarious.
That would be a great game. This guy was Locke's.
That would be so awesome.
This was Locke's doppelganger. Honestly, I took a second look at him at first.
Was he dressed in Louisville gear?
But he had the cap on, you know, like Locke always wears his little Virginia cap. And he was dressed the same, about the same height. And he was his doppelganger. And I would like to have taken that. So that'd be fun to go run around and find a Sweeney lookalike and a Drew lookalike and... you know, and I would have had Locked in the book right there, and you know, one for you and one for Ennis, and that would be fun.
That could low key piss some people off.
That would be a great game.
One of them was like the crazy, like naked street performer or something like that. Not that he's crazy by any stretch. He's actually making a gazillion dollars for playing guitar in his underwear. Good for him. But
his wife does it now too.
Yeah, she's a looker as well. Good for them. The naked cowboy and. Cowboyette or something. I'm not sure. We want to know Wednesday
girl.
Coming down here. This is
we
New York.
We want to know Wednesday. This,
we
want to know Wednesday.
Know Wednesday.
This one's New York.
We want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday.
Did you know the Coney in Coney Island means rabbit? How about that?
I don't understand that. Why would it mean rabbit?
I don't know.
An island of rabbits?
Maybe.
Is that what the name is founded on?
Maybe. Maybe that's the old Manhattan Indian or Native American term for... Because Coney Island is on the island of Manhattan, right?
No. Come on, Nick. Come on, man.
It's Brooklyn.
I taught you nothing.
I'm
it's Brooklyn.
Idiot. I'm sorry.
Come
I knew
on.
That. I
Damn
knew
it.
That. I knew that. I'm sorry. I knew that. Sorry.
The hell was that?
Some shameful stuff there. Shameful stuff. Let's see. This one's a good little 1-2 punch here.
Bam, bam.
Did you know mosquitoes kill more people a year than any other animal, including humans? Why do they suck so much? Well, maybe it's because they have the smallest penis in the animal kingdom.
There
from the guy. So
we got that in there.
We got the genitalia in there, and but still, both of those facts are rather interesting. You don't have to be sophomoric about it. They are interesting. Someone has to have the smallest one. Let's see here. Oh, also, a couple of people passed along recommendations for shows. Someone said that there's a new Broadway show called Ain't Too Proud. It's a
Yeah, it's about the Temptations.
Yeah, that one looks like it could be pretty
cool. Mike Pratt wants me to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to go see that. Heck, they were tremendous when they came to town for the Bourbon Festival, I think we had 2 years ago. That was really, really, really cool. They also said, and Mom would definitely approve of this, go see the Winter Spectacular at Radio City Music Hall. It'll get
thought
you
about
in the holiday
that.
Mood. I've never actually
I thought about
seen
going
that.
Up to Rockefeller Center just to watch the skaters. That's always fun.
Mm-hmm. That was a good time. That's where I had my... I got my credit card info hacked right outside of there when I was up there last time with Jamie. That sucked. So I got a bit of a bad taste in my mouth of Rockefeller Center. But besides that, it's pretty awesome. There's an FAO Schwartz part of
they reopened it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a great candy. Oh, there's a giant candy room.
Where did they move awesome. The? Because the old FAO Schwartz, we bought the cab there where
right,
they could push the
and
button
fifth.
And Jamie 58 and where to? You push the button and the guy'd go honk honk where to? And the guy'd say FAO Schwartz and the driver would say, go ahead, you know the whole narrative, great store.
58 and fifth, right?
58 and fifth, right? Yep. And then the guy would go off and Jamie was barely able to talk and he would do that whole routine. He's like two. Where to? He'd say, couldn't even say where. He'd say air two. Air two.
he also flagged the cab when it was 3 and went to FAO Schwartz. No, I made that up, but No, that thing was awesome. I love that little cab.
So where there's a new FAO Schwartz?
Yeah, it's in it's like in the NBC building. It's like in the lower floor of that.
How do you know this?
Because we visited it.
When?
Last year when Jamie, me, and his buddy Luke.
Oh, nice.
Went,
FAO Schwartz, our store. I just looked it up under Google Lead Services.
Very cool.
FAO Schwartz, this computer is taking forever.
While you're looking that up, the song Happy Birthday was written by two Louisville sisters, Patty and Mildred J. Hill.
Yeah, it's actually called Good Morning. It was called Good Morning to You or something. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Yeah.
Question, going back to basketball, what was Chris Mack's technical foul about last night?
Because he lost his mind. They'd already warned him once about leaving the coach's box, and he thought when Ryan tried to sell remember he faked and he thought he was trying to draw the foul on the three-point shot, and they didn't make a call, and he just that just put him over the edge. He was pretty well at the end of his wit's end anyway by that point, but that was right opposite us, and he just
explosion.
Yeah. So they said you can't do that. We have to make the letter T, and then the other team shoots free throws, and this pretty much wrapped the game up. The Rockefeller 30 Rockefeller Plaza for FAO Schwartz. Holiday hours are underway right now. They open at 9. They close at 10. So I think I will go into a toy store at Christmas time. It's so nice to see FAO back in business.
Oh man, that's cool. Awesome. There's the special magical. It just seems like a Christmassy glow.
There used to be a big Toys R Us in Times Square as well, with a Ferris wheel in the store. And now, of course, Toys R Us is now Toys R Defunct. So that's kind of sad. I wish they'd come back. Don't you wish they'd come back?
Toys R Us is coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure.
That's what me and the GF went as for Halloween. She was a giraffe that was all like sooty. And I was a guy with a bunch of shoes, and we went as Payless Shoes and Toys R Us because we were.
Oh, you went to just obscure stores that went out of business?
Yeah, so that were like hobos. So
you went to the defuncto. You went to the defuncto couple.
Yeah, good times.
That's kind of a shame.
And I miss both those. Also, what isn't a shame? And you're in New York, so I'm not up there enjoying all the delicious food, but I was enjoying something that you can find all over New York, a Reuben brought by our friends at Witch Witch. It is a Witch Witch Wednesday here at the ESPN Louisville Studios. Thanks to Jason and his team for bringing by Witch Witch. Two great locations, Old Brownsboro Crossing or at 221 South Hurstbourne Parkway. Try the ESPN special. It's a large witch for just $6.80, and that is a big-ass sandwich. It'll feed me for about a meal and a half. It'll feel locked for about a year
and a half.
Yeah, probably. Order for your game watch party or any holiday parties. Order online today at witchwitch.com or download the app Witch Witch Superior Sandwiches. I had a Reuben, had a cookie. It's been a good day.
Don't play the music because I got to tell people I'm here on the 15th floor in the other hotel. I was on the 21st floor, and I can tell you, I'm sorry to tell the company, they do not need your services here because the wind is howling and nothing comes into these rooms. They have spectacular windows. Well, if you'd like to have windows like that, then you need to call our friends at Universal Windows Direct because it is amazing that it can be this cold here and this windy and you don't feel anything at these windows. And that's what you want for your home. And the company that can give it to you is Universal Windows Direct. If you're spending money with old, drafty windows, you probably know you're just literally wasting it because you're paying it to heat the room, and all of that money and utility work is going right out the window, quite literally. Your home is not cool enough in the summer, and it's not warm enough in the winter, and that's all because of old, drafty windows. So check them out at Universal Windows Direct. They have a buy one, get one free deal with no limit. That's free installation. It's 0% financing for 36 months. And the warranty is for as long as you own your home and 30 years to the next homeowner. That's a company that stands behind their products. They will make a huge difference. And on top of all that, if you've seen the homes after they put the windows in, they just have a new glow. There's something about new windows that makes your house absolutely sparkle. So get that new glow with new windows from our friends at Universal Windows Direct. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. Remember the name, Universal Windows Direct. A lot of people are bombarding you with material and information at the holiday time. The place you want to go is Universal Windows Direct.
All right, so two things here. I teased this sound earlier. It was Myron Metcalf talking about who he would pick right now, Cards or Cats. Let's get this sound in, get a quick reaction from you, and then one more little tidbit, and it plays into We Want to Know Wednesday, and that'll be the take on Andy Sweeney.
Yeah, I thought Louisville was a better team. I mean, going into the Texas Tech game, I still give them a slight edge over a Kentucky team that hasn't really done anything since Evansville. I mean, they played a bunch of sub-100 teams. I mean, they're improving, but we're just not going to know until they end up playing, I think, Ohio State, and then they play Louisville. But, I mean, they're similar in that they don't have a lot of offensive catalysts. They don't have a lot of guys who can create off the dribble. But I think Louisville is a better overall team. They got a lot of experience. And I guess I would give them maybe the slight edge in that game.
I mean, if based on his analysis, it's hard to argue some of that. You can't tell where Kentucky's developed. The competition doesn't give them many answers. Many answers. I didn't say any answers. It doesn't give them many answers. Louisville doesn't have guys that are breaking down off the dribble. Cal's had to change kind of the way he goes about things because the dribble drive is great if you got guys who can dribble drive, and they don't have a lot of guys who are going to break you down off the dribble either. So they're changing things. Louisville's got some more experience. Kentucky, I don't know, might have more of a, the athletes they have are of higher individual caliber, but Louisville has more experience, and at times this year they've looked more cohesive as a team, but last night the wheels just flew off in every direction. Cal actually has been a very good defensive coach, so maybe he can disrupt Louisville's offense with a defensive game plan and good athletes. It's hard to tell. It's very hard to tell. You're going to have to wait. When I talked to Dana O'Neill earlier, I said, I think you need 8 meaningful games, and she interpreted that as just 8 games. I meant 8 meaningful games, like, you know, for Kentucky, the Champions Classic, and then, you know, the Ohio State game, the Louisville game, and then maybe 5 conference games. Same thing with Louisville. I'm talking about, you know, they played the Miami game and then Michigan and Pitt, and now this game, they probably need 4 more. The ones coming up at home, I'm not sure I'd put in that category. So it'll probably be January before we really have much of an idea. You still got time for your thing or that you were going to say? Or, just, no, you don't, right?
Well, Garrett Cole.
You played the music and you cut yourself off.
Quick, Garrett Cole.
He's good at
baseball.
Meet
the Yankees.
Hey, Bobby V here. You've heard me talking about it.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a 4-seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.